Welcome and good morning to those gathered here and watching remotely. Please join with me the call to worship found in your bulletins. Let us join together in our celebration of this day.
This is a great day and a beautiful day that the Lord has made.
This is a day that God has given us to receive and use to its fullest.
A day of new commitments, new possibilities, and a day of rejoicing.
Let us thank God for this day and for all for our very lives.
With prayers from our hearts and with lives led with integrity, service, joy, and loving devotion.
Please join me in prayer. Dear God, we gather here on this beautiful summer's day, absorbing the peace of your sanctuary and the presence of our friends gathered with us. Come and be with each one of us now, God, wherever we are in our faith journey, wherever we are in our mindset, wherever we are on our life's path, and help us to recognize you walking alongside of us. Be in our hands as we go about serving others, setting aside our own needs for the needs of the greater good. As you call us to do, all this we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
And let me say good morning also. It's great to see you. It's great to be together. Reiterating what Joe said on this, it's just such a spectacular morning. Let me invite you, as I share just a couple of things, if you'll take the friendship registers that you have in the center and outside aisles of your pews, and if you just want to take that, jot your name, pass it down, might want to take a look at your at somebody who's sitting next to you. If you don't know a name or a face, and put that together, we're going to be having a wonderful time for coffee and refreshments afterwards in the courtyard. So we will see you out there to be able to catch up. We started off the day this morning with just a beautiful service on the beach at Sasco Beach. So it's the first service that we at Southport Congregational Church for the season have been out there, and we do that with Fairfield First, and there's, I don't know, it's probably 120, 130 people out there. I got my tan for the day, so that's good. And you know, it's a great day when you start out the day in church and you have to put on sunscreen, so it's all very, very good. Joe, thanks again for leading us off. It's great to be back. This is the first time I am back in the pulpit today after my shoulder surgery that took place on June 2nd, and everything's going very well, and a number of you have noticed that there's no more sling, and the arm seems to be working fine, right? It's all good news, and again, just your support has been wonderful. Shannon, thanks for being here this morning. Elaine, as always. And also, it was a wonderful day yesterday. It was Elaine's birthday yesterday. How about that? Mm-hmm. And here she is today. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elaine. Happy birthday to you. That we get to sing for the singer, right? How do we do? Were we okay? That's great. I'm a little surprised there wasn't, you know, one of these going on at the same time. Just there's really only a few announcements. Just I'm going to highlight two. One is next week, something that we've been doing for the last couple of years is we would have one Sunday. I can't even tell you how it started because I don't remember. So we would have a Sunday that's an Ask the Minister or Ask the Minister's Sunday. It's not Stump the Ministers. But so next Sunday in service, we're going to invite you to, if you have a theological, spiritual, faith-based kind of a question, to write it down at the beginning of the service. We're going to collect those questions at the offering, and because sometimes we get a little too caught up, you know, in some great questions, we're actually going to have a timer, and we're going to go for 5 minutes for each question so that we get to, you know, at least 4 or 5 questions, and just respond to your questions. And as I said at the beach service, this is something which did scare the life out of me up until a couple of years ago, which is why we haven't done it. Although I always kind of dreamed of doing that, but we're going to do it, and it's always really, really interesting questions that come up. So next week is going to be a great Sunday. Les Miller is here, and Les, I want to thank you so much for leading our service last Sunday, and you always just do a wonderful, wonderful job spiritually, just so solid. So smart. I thank you so much. And we're going to be hearing from Les Moore during the summer when Laura and I are away. And then in 2 weeks, we have our Horizons Backpack Assembly. Horizons is a wonderful program that helps kids in the inner city of Bridgeport. And it operates out of both the Greens Farms Academy School and then Sacred Heart University, and helping to educationally empower and support and uplift and strengthen these kids, because education really is truly the way out and the way up. And so you have given all sorts of wonderful school supplies, and we have 364 backpacks that on July 24th and 2 Sundays after church, anybody who wants to do so out in the barn is going to be able to stuff these backpacks just to the brim with these wonderful school supplies, and then the backpacks are going to be given to the kids through these programs. So anyway, I hope that you get to take part in that. And now I'm going to invite Laura.
As we enter into this time of prayer and quiet and we ask actually that you keep in your prayers Pam Poling, our church secretary. She got bit by the COVID bug last week and actually was very ill, got the treatment up at Yale New Haven, started to see some improvements, but if you're watching, Pam, we send you all our love and prayers. And then she's going to be on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so we really hope that she's feeling better by today so that her vacation can be her vacation. But we continue to pray for those with COVID, both here in our own church, our community, our state, our nation, our world. We just pray for, sometimes you just have to pray for peace. peace in our hearts, peace in our world, peace in our Congress, everybody, just a little peace going out today. We'll do good things. So with those thoughts and prayers, and then the prayers that are deep within your own hearts, let's take this time to lift them all to God. Let us pray. Dear God, we are so grateful that we are gathered here in this sanctuary, this place of peace, on this absolutely gorgeous day that you have made. We ask that you be with us as we gather here in worship to be with one another, to learn from one another, and then to go out and to make your world a better place with each other. And we do recognize, God, that even on these most beautiful days, when the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming and all seems right with the world, sometimes within us, things are not all right. We face challenges and problems and difficult decisions that need to be made and worrisome fears. And so we come sitting in this sanctuary because we know deep within us that all of that will be eased by simply taking time to be with you. Because you know our hearts, God. You know our thoughts. And you know that our coming to you in prayer isn't for you, it's for us. Because by opening ourselves to you, we release ourselves of having to be the only one in charge, of having to be the only one navigating our lives, of being alone in our deepest thoughts. And this world was made with great care and deliberateness, God. But within that, there is chaos. And you never promised us that the world would be easy. You never said that there would not be problems or difficult situations that we will have to pass. You did promise us your mercy. You did promise us your grace. You did promise us your never-ending love. And you did say that you would be with us always to the end of time. So when we take time to be with you, to truly offer ourselves to you, you are so easily found right here beside us, in front of us, behind us, and within us. And so we come to you in this spirit of prayer to help our soul reconnect back to you. So we may be filled with your strength, with your grace, with your love. Be with us, strengthen us, embolden us. Help us to reach out to love that neighbor in need, to care for that person who no one wants to care for, to listen to that person whose ideas are opposite of ours and really hear them, to enter into discussions rather than arguments, and also to know when it's fine to just be with someone in silence, as you are so often with us. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Redeemer. Amen. What a beautiful song and beautifully sung. All right, thank you so much. That was gorgeous. This is a book that I gave to our seniors on Celebration Sunday here, June 12th. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. If you don't own a copy of it, it's a great summer read. First page starts out, hello. Doesn't get any more complicated than that throughout the entire book. Beautiful pictures, things. The second page says, I'm so small, said the mole. Yes, said the boy, but you make a huge difference. And this morning, as I was thinking about our offering, I thought how hard it is sometimes for each of us to understand how we can make a difference, how, as just one person, we can fix all that needs to be fixed. And the truth is, and we learned this well out on the reservation, we can't fix everything, but we have great power in being one, and then we have even more in being two or three or four or a collective whole. And that's what our morning offering is all about. It's each of us offering that which we have and then collectively bringing them together to implement and make great change in this world. So we are but one, but we make a huge difference. So in that spirit, our morning's offering will be received. Unison prayer of dedication. O God, we thank you for creating us and giving us all that is necessary for life. We thank you for your gift of Christ, through whom our lives are measured and renewed. We thank you for our ability to serve those in need. Help us to remember all your gifts, that we may praise you with lives of joy and service. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have our scripture passage that is printed in your bulletins, and just have an invitation that as you look, as we are going to read this together, that we look and listen for three things, that we look and listen for the blessings that are mentioned, and the beasts, and also the angels. So let's read together. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the river Jordan. And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. May God bless our hearing, our understanding, our embodiment of these words and this message of abundant love and abundant life. So we start with blessings. I get asked every now and then, Paul, do you believe in reincarnation? And it is not something that is a part of Christian doctrine or anything. But sometimes, to some folks, I say yes. Yes. And I believe it in this way. Every night, we go to bed. Our head hits the pillow, we close our eyes, and everything that we lived during that day and everything that we lived before is done. It's behind us. At that point, it's just a memory, an experience that we can recall. Our past life is now a memory. And then we are unconscious and our body's not moving. And then the next morning, if we are so blessed, we get to open our eyes. And when we do, we will be given the gift of life another day. We are given a new incarnation. And it's like the heavens open up and God says, "Here's another chance. Here is the gift of life that's before you." And that happened to us this morning when you opened your eyes. So in that way, I believe in reincarnation, that we're given a new life every day. And the truth is, when that happens, that we're not chained to the past. We get to choose every day how we want to navigate our life in any direction that we want to. We're free, we're blessed, we are born again every day, just like the baptism in our scripture passage where Jesus is coming out of the water and he's washed clean. So that's the blessing part. Tremendous gift. But then as we see in our scripture, it moves very, very quickly on to the next part, because just as happened with Jesus in the scripture passage, just because we are blessed and we're given this tremendous gift, it doesn't mean that from that point on our blessed life is all going to be easy street. Because like it or not, just as it happened with Jesus in our scripture, there's also going to be the beasts. There's going to be the temptations. There's going to be times of wilderness. When we're wandering, we don't know exactly what to do. What's the right choice? What's the right decision? Which way do we go? There's going to be tests and trials. And these range anything from illness with ourselves or with someone who we love to You know what? All of a sudden the economy goes bad. War happens. All the way from big things to little beasts. Going throughout our day solving problems. Going to the doctor visits, paying bills, going to the grocery store, studying for a test, juggling your schedule. Along with the blessings, there's always going to be the beasts, large and small, and there's always going to be the wilderness. But then there's also this third part, too, that we see in the scriptures and we feel in our lives. And this is where being a person of faith comes in. Because what our scriptures are, and what the story is, it's wonderful, it's so short, but it's this very little compact, tight roadmap of life in these couple of sentences. We're giving this roadmap of life saying, look, this is what happens. We want you to be equipped, we want you to be prepared. Without this roadmap that's shared here, which some people don't have, you can go through life thinking that maybe life is only supposed to be the first part, that life is supposed to be a blessing. Everything is supposed to be good and sunshiny. And when you think that life is supposed to be about blessings only, which I know because I did for years, for decades in my life, I would wake up so often and I would go through the day so often and I would be disappointed. I would be surprised once again. Sometimes depressed. Wondering, grumbling. It's like, why is this happening? Why do I keep running into problems every day? Isn't life supposed to be easier? Isn't it supposed to be a smoother path? Not knowing that even for the best of us, even for Jesus, life also included the beasts and the wilderness. And even, as it says, there's some evil that's thrown in there. So if you're not expecting that, life can be very disappointing, disturbing, and you will be surprised again and again. So by saying that it's there, though, the beasts and the wilderness and so forth, it's not saying that it's good because it names it as such. As you know, Satan and beasts and so forth. It's not that it's good. It's just part of the package. The beasts come with the blessings. So when they happen to you, when they happen to me, I remind myself, you know what? I'm not exempt. Jesus wasn't exempt. I'm not being picked on any more than he was. He had to deal with it all. But there are some people who don't know this. And it makes for a pretty hard life, thinking that it's all supposed to be blessings. Now, there are other people who go through life, and they're kind of glum, not because they think that everything's supposed to be blessings, but all some people see are the beasts. It's all beasts. There's the people who say things like, it's a dog-eat-dog world, you know. You say, good morning, and they go, what's good about it? Life sucks. They're the people who give other people hand gestures often, saying things like, you know, everybody's out to get you. Conspiracy theorists, for them, beasts are everywhere. Everything's a beast. But then there's our faith. And our faith says to us very clearly here in these couple of sentences, are there blessings? Yes. Is life beautiful? Yes. Is there love? Yes. But are there also beasts and evil? And I say, well, you know, you tell me. Are some people sometimes very cruel and do some... People sometimes cheat and lie and steal and inflict pain on others and create wars. Our faith says to us, I want to give you life, eyes wide open, and tell you how things really are. And part of that eyes wide open, though, includes this third thing as well, reminding us that, you know what, There are also, with the rest of this, there are also angels ministering. Jesus was blessed in his life. He was confronted by the beasts and evil and all sorts of things. But then it says the angels ministered to him. And that's where I'm thinking that in some of your minds, some of you might be saying, you know what, Paul, I'm with you with the blessings. I can see and I get the beasts, the wilderness, but then, you know, it comes up with angels and it just kind of sounds like fluffy stuff. It sounds a little make-believe, right? And you go, really, Paul, are there really, you really think that they're angels? And I'll tell you, yes, absolutely. Because angels are those beings that help people find their way through the wilderness, and they help us deal with the beasts in our life all of the time. And I'm saying this to you, and you know, you should know better than anyone else. You should know, because haven't you been one? Haven't you been an angel? Many, many times, I bet you have. Angels help us out. A week ago, Saturday night, 22 angels from our church came back from spending a week out in South Dakota on the Lakota Indian Reservation, working with and living with and loving and encouraging and equipping a whole bunch of very beautiful Native American children and their families, helping them to deal with some of the beasts that are thrown at them in their lives, helping them to navigate the paths of their wilderness. And you're going to be hearing more about that in 2 weeks when Laura's going to be talking about that on July 24th, and she's going to have some of the youths who went with her out there, and they're going to share that. Angels. Another thing that's going to happen in 2 weeks that I was talking about is that you're going to have the opportunity to be an angel. Any one of you who wants to help put those backpacks together, ministering to people in their need, you're going to have that opportunity. We're going to fill 364 backpacks, as I said, to the brim with educational supplies. And all these supplies were bought and supplied by you, by angels. The backpacks were purchased by you, by angels. And they're going to be given to these young boys and girls from Bridgeport who otherwise, they wouldn't have any help like this for their wilderness. If it weren't for the angels ministering to them. In the middle of last week, another beautiful thing happened where there was a person from SERI. It's an organization that we helped to support, Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants. And they came and they picked up a brand new crib and a brand new mattress that we had gotten for them because there was a refugee baby who was born here from Afghanistan. The family is from Afghanistan, just born a couple days ago. That baby was born into this world as a blessing by God. That baby was born into this world that has beasts and some terrible things that happen. They know they're running from it. And that baby was also born into this world that, thank you, God has angels that will help her and the family navigate their way through the wilderness. And that's how I see the difference, the blessing between being a part of a community of faith as we are and being a person of faith, versus somebody who's a person of despair, person of faith, person of despair, or maybe even just a person who's neutral. What do you believe? Well, really nothing. I'm fine. A person of despair or a person who's neutral, they'll look at the world and they'll see the beasts and they'll say, isn't that too bad? What a rotten world. Look at all the problems. Look at the poverty. Look at the prejudice. Look at the hatred that's out there. What a rotten world. And you know what? A person of faith will look out and they'll see the exact same thing. But then a person of faith will say, this situation needs some angels. Let's roll up our sleeves, and I'm going to be the one to take out my checkbook, and I'm going to be the one to go there, and I'm going to help. What can I do to help? Same world, but angels offer hope and help. And sometimes those angels help us, and sometimes we are those angels who help others. So these are some mission examples, but what I wonder about is, how about some everyday examples? Sorry, can we turn the volume down just a smidge, because I feel like it's very, very loud in here. So, I think about what can we do to be a person of blessing in the midst of our world in simple ways. There's an article, and it's from a recent Harvard Business Review, and it shares a study that asked a question. And the question was, which is more effective in improving team performance? Is it giving positive feedback to let people know when they're doing well? Or is it offering constructive comments to help them when they're off track, constructive criticism? And the research says, are you ready? Research says that's a trick question. It's a trick question because the either-or part is not really right, because both positive feedback and constructive comments are important at appropriate times. So the real question is, in what proportion are these helpful? So the study examined the effectiveness of 60 strategic business unit leadership teams, and that found the factor that made the greatest difference between the most successful teams and the least successful teams was the ratio of positive comments to negative comments, where the average ratio for the highest performing teams, who here would like to be on the highest performing team? This is the exercise portion, so you can raise your hands. Oh, do you want to be on the medium performing team? The lowest performing team? The highest performing teams, that ratio is 5.6 positive comments to 1 negative. So almost 6-1. The medium performing teams averaged almost 2-1, 2 positives to 1 negative, 1.9-1. The lowest performing teams, anybody here want to be on the lowest performing team? 3 negatives to 1 positive, right? Now, I love this study, because for one thing, it makes me think so much about what am I saying? What's my ratio to the people I work with, to the people who I love, to the world? But the other thing I really love about this study is this. This study was made from people for whom financial profit and the success of a team is the primary driving force. And even they say, you know, even if you could care less about the spiritual fluffy stuff, even if, you know, what you really want is money and productivity, here's the answer. Build one another up. Because tearing people down, tearing each other down, will fail. It will fail you and it will fail them. So parents, friends, Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Black, white, husbands, wives, just regular people who just want to be happy. Let's build one another up. Be an angel, be a positive person of blessing, affirming, helpful. With you, I am well pleased. Boy, do those words go far. And when you embody those words, you will be a blessing to the people around you. So that's one example from business. Let me close with this. There's a psychologist. Some of you may be familiar with his name. His name is John Gottman, and he is widely recognized as, you know, kind of the foremost authority on you know, marriage relations and marriage therapy. And he has some research also, and his research shows nearly the identical ratio that for married couples, the single biggest determinant that creates either a happy marriage or divorce is nearly the exact same ratio of positive to negative comments. So we think about our own lives. In a vibrant, happy, healthy marriage, or I would say relationship, you have 5 positive comments to 1 negative. People who end up divorced, here's what surprised me. The ratio is 0.77 positive to 1 negative. Here's why it surprises me. That's still almost 1-to-1. And these are the people getting divorced. So let me tell you something. When I hear these statistics again, when I see these numbers, does that make me think about my own life? Does that make me think about the words that are coming out of my own mouth? Does that make me think about my positive comments and my negative comments? You bet it does. Absolutely. How about with parenting? And now think for a moment about politics. Our Congress. What's the ratio there? And what's the success rate there? How's that working for our country? How about the news that we hear? What's that ratio? What's that doing for us, positive to negative? And we wonder why the world is going the way that it is, with anxiety in our world impacting adults and youth, where it's increased by 30-fold in the last 20 years, and the violence. We're not just eating each other up, we're shooting each other up. A person of despair or neutral looks at the world and says, isn't that too bad? Isn't that too bad? What a rotten world. Look at the poverty, the violence, the prejudice, the hatred. How sad. And then a person of faith sees the very same thing and says, what can I do to help? Starting with me. And then does. With blessings, beasts, and angels. Amen.
Thank you.
One of my most favorite passages from Scripture that I love to share again and again is, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice like that and be glad in it." Let us sing and shout and praise and receive and take every moment, taking it into our hearts. This literally is the first day of the rest of our lives. May we drink it all in, and then may we reflect that love out into the world in compassion and strength and courage and encouragement with everyone who we meet, now and forevermore, with God's blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.